Turn in your Bibles. We're going to be in the book of Exodus tonight. Exodus chapter 2. We'll spend a lot of time there, and we're going to do a little bit of reading tonight to get the story out. Before I start the lesson tonight, I have a public service announcement. My wife has germinated hundreds of tomato plants from seed. We have tomato plants to give away. We've given away a lot of them, and we'd love to give the rest of them away. So if you need tomato plants, we've got about eight kinds. We don't want any money. Jennifer will help you with that. All right. So tonight I want to talk a little bit about Moses. When you think of Moses, you know, it's hard not to get the picture in your mind of some of the old movies of Moses coming down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments and him being a mighty and a holy figure, a leader, a person of strength, a person that the people looked up to. All those things are true about Moses, and he was a lot of those things. But I want to go through some of his story tonight and draw out some of the human side of Moses. He was just as human as you and I. He would be described as a great man, but I think most great men and most great women are full of flaws and full of stumbles, and their path isn't straight, and God uses them anyway, just like he used Moses anyway. So let's look in Exodus chapter 2. Let's see where Moses started his life here. And there went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife and a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when he saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she saw him, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid him in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Now, the Hebrew male child was supposed to be disposed of at that time. So this is a big chance. What's the Pharaoh's daughter going to do? We know the story. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go," and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew and brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called him Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Moses started his life at a great disadvantage, but very quickly he became privileged. It's interesting that Moses's mother gave him up, trusting God, and very quickly Moses was handed right back to his mother to be raised. What's being orchestrated in Moses's life here is divine. It's a very clear indication of him entering into a training ground to serve a purpose later for God. And I want y'all to look for that training ground. I'll try to point it out as much as I can. But he was a male child. He was a Hebrew. And he was raised by his mother and Hebrew family. He knew where he came from. And that's important in this story. He knew where he came from. He was also part of Pharaoh's royal court. And he had full access to Pharaoh's family. He was Pharaoh's family. He had full access to the riches and to the prominence that made that up. Moses was definitely being prepared. A lot of times when we don't understand what's happening to us, we are being prepared. Sometimes it's a short preparation. Sometimes it's years of preparation. And we can get tired in our preparation, but it's preparation still for a greater purpose later. Let's look at verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and he looked on their burdens. Now his brethren were the Hebrew children, the Hebrews. He looked out on their burdens and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. Pharaoh's house, he was Egyptian. Moses was born as a Hebrew. I'll just make sure we get that straight. The Egyptian was smiting a Hebrew. One of his brethren, see, Moses knew who he was. He knew where he'd come from. His mother and sisters taught him. And it came to pass, let's see, he knew who he was. In verse 12, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. And he went out the second day, and behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. They were walking together and said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore thou smitest thy fellow? Have you ever tried to hide a sin and it was later brought to light and you had to deal with it? Well, this is where Moses was right now. Moses was a flawed person. He made a bad choice here. He committed murder. One of the Ten Commandments that he brought down from the mountain, he had actually committed. Can you believe God would hand the Ten Commandments to someone who was guilty of one of the commandments? I guess God is okay with working a plan through people who aren't perfect. He must be. Verse 14, and he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Just like in Bowden, Ramburn, in this whole area here, if something happens, it's known. And information is moving faster than it ever has. Social media has opened up. Group text, you name it, has opened up the flow of information. Well, probably didn't move that fast in this day, but Moses had killed somebody and people knew it. And he was afraid because people had found him out. He said, surely this thing is known. Verse 15, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by the well. Moses made a choice here. When he slew the Egyptian, he made a choice. He got involved. He saw suffering of his brethren, and he said, I'm not going to sit in Pharaoh's house. I'm not going to enjoy the wealth and the bounty. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get involved in the suffering. I'm going to get involved in the fight. I'm going to get involved in the movement. I'm going to put myself in a place that is uncomfortable for the sake of others. This wasn't for the sake of Moses. He was fine. He had it all. He was good. But he did it for the sake of others. Now, his methodology was wrong, but regardless, he chose his people over the world, God's people over the world. He chose right over wealth. Now, he wasn't right in killing, but he was right in defending the Hebrew, defending the weak. He chose principle over position. He chose hard over easy. Sometimes life calls us to do hard things. And we get to choose whether we engage in those hard things or whether we stay where it's easy. God needs us. God wants us sometimes to engage in the hard things. And Moses did this. Moses chose God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, you don't have to turn, Luke chapter 12, verse 15, He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Moses wasn't hooked on the luxuries of being in Pharaoh's family. He was willing to let that stuff go. Psalms 84:10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We get that choice even today. We personally get that choice. Are we going to go with the world or are we going to go with what God has for us and God's principles for us. We get that. We get to choose promotion, power, position, and security if they're offered. But if God says no, we're not to take it. We have to trust God's unknown is better than our apparent known. Sometimes it all adds up that we should make this move. But if our spirit's telling us no, if God's telling us no, then that's not the move. And it'll work out. It'll work out. Fix your heart on God's way and trust that He can. It's amazing what God can do through people's faith. He can do anything. He just needs us to be obedient and be in our spot. And He can work the rest of it out. A lot of times our faith can benefit, just like Moses. We're going to see later in the story, his faith benefited a lot of people. Sometimes our faith can spill over into a way God can use us to benefit a lot of people. I know many of you know who Charles Stanley is. We just lost him. He was a great, great man of God. Very few people could deliver a message the way he did. He had a gift. He had a quote, one that I love to hang on to. He said, "Be obedient to God and let Him deal with any consequences from that obedience." We worry about what the consequences should be. It's not ours to worry about. God can deal with those consequences. Moses' faith ultimately affected a whole nation because Moses chose God. Let's move on to Exodus chapter 3. So, God preparing Moses through his life. If you'll think about his journey, he started out as a Hebrew child. He was raised by his Hebrew family. When he got old enough, he was handed to Pharaoh's daughter to be raised the rest of the way in Pharaoh's house. That's an ingredient that went into Moses' life that's going to fit into the puzzle of his purpose later. These next verses are another piece of that puzzle. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. I want you to notice that after Moses was found out as a murderer, he was exiled. He ran away. And where he landed was at Jethro's house. And his job was to be a sheep herder. What do you learn as a sheep herder? You learn how to navigate the wilderness. You learn how to defend against things that might attack in the wilderness. You learn where water is. You learn how to take care of your shoes, your feet. You learn how to deal with the sun. You learn how to deal with the elements. That's going to be important in God's purpose for Moses. It says in verse 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Verse 3, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses." This is important. "And he said, Here am I." When God calls on us, we have a choice. We can acknowledge and say, "Here am I. Lord, what is it? What do you want? What can I do? What movements can I make on your behalf?" In verse 5, he said, "And he said, Draw not hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for this place wherein thou standest is holy ground." Verse 6, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt." The same afflictions that Moses had recognized in the Hebrew that was being beat by the Egyptian. "And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. for I know their sorrows. God hears us. Prayer does matter. When we call out to Him, it does make a difference. He does listen. And He does react. And I am come down to deliver them out of the land, out of the hand of Egyptians, of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, and unto land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Verse 9, and therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. God noticed their suffering. Verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people out of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses showed a lot of humility in that moment. He said, Who am I? I have no ability. I have no message. He goes on to say, I have no authority. I have no eloquence. I can't speak. I have no inclination. I don't even want to. But God had been preparing him for this. God put him by the bush through a series of events that made Moses uniquely qualified. All Moses needed in this moment was obedience. If he could muster up enough obedience to trust God, to let God do what he said he was going to do through him, then he's going to be okay. So Moses led the people out of Egypt after God made Pharaoh miserable. He made things flat out miserable. He sent a lot of pain to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh eventually said, get these people out of here. Moses served a great purpose. He fulfilled his mission that God uniquely selected for him. He did go down, and he did convince Pharaoh, along with God's power and God's influence, to let the people go. So they're following Moses in the wilderness at this point. Moses made another mistake, and I want to draw that out. He made a mistake. God would never have you forget that He's in charge and gets glory. Even great men like Moses, who gave it all, have to give God the glory. If you will, I want you to see this in your Bible. Turn to Numbers chapter 20. Moses had been out with the children of Israel for 40 years at this point, in the wilderness. They were not a happy and cheery people. They were bickering. They were getting into all kind of trouble. They were getting away from God. They were getting away from God's principles. They had a lack of respect. They just had a lot of issues. When you get that many people together in a very uncomfortable situation, issues come out. And Moses was dealing with a lot of issues. Numbers 20, verse 8. Let's take a look at it. Verse 8 says, take the rod. This is God talking to Moses and Aaron, talking to Moses primarily. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. God says something very specific here. He said, gather you and your brother, speak unto the rock, and it shall bring forth his water. He had very specific instructions. So let's see what Moses did. And Moses, in verse 10 here, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. He was sending them a message. You guys are all bickering. I'm frustrated with you. Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Well, who is this we he's talking about? Him and Aaron? We got a problem here. First of all, Moses is being emotional. He's mad. And he's saying, I guess we're going to have to get you some water out of this rock, aren't we? Not a good look, Moses. Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. When did God tell him to strike that rock? He didn't tell him to. But the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Basically, Moses took credit for God's power in that moment. He stood up and said, all right, you smart Alex, I'll get you some water. And he whacked the rock, went against what God told him to do. There are some things that have consequences with God. Putting ourselves in His place, or the man of God's place, taking His power and making it appear like we did something. God's given us favor all our lives, and we've got some blessings around us, and we start saying, look what I did. That's a bad place to be. God has a hard time honoring that. In this case, it cost Moses. Actually, it cost Moses access to the promised land. In that moment, just like when Saul, they were waiting on Samuel to come do the burnt offering. And Saul said, I'm not waiting anymore. I'll do the burnt offering. And he did it. At that moment, Saul lost God's favor. The Bible says his favor left him and he became troubled. And at that moment, the favor to be king moved to David. He put himself in the wrong place. He got too big for his britches. Moses did the same thing here, and Moses got himself in a bit of a mess. He had been leading these people for 40 years, and he's no longer going to get to travel with them into the land that God had promised. But even though there were consequences for Moses, God did eventually take Moses to the mountaintop and let him look over into the promised land. He did give him some grace to let him see it with his eyes, but he never was able to touch it with his feet. I want to move you guys over, if you will go ahead and turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we're going to look at verse 24. I would encourage you to not deprive yourself of God's fullness and what He has for you by choosing what looks good instead of what God wants, what we desire instead of what God asks for us to do, by getting too arrogant when God blesses. Hebrews 11, verse 24. This is kind of the record of Moses from the New Testament, looking back on time. Now, as I said, Moses was a great man. He did great things all throughout the pages of the Bible. He also messed a few things up, including at the very end, and didn't get into the promised land. But let's see how he's looked back on by the Scriptures. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, seeing him who is invisible. With all of Moses' flaws, he was remembered for his sacrifice and his obedience and what he did, fulfilling his purpose for God. If Moses had not, if he had just taken the easy road and he'd have stayed in Pharaoh's house, a lot of people would have suffered. he needed to engage in the hard thing. And even though he did it imperfectly, God was able to use him anyway to fulfill that purpose. Thank you for your attention.